And welcome to the Sportscast, May 31st, 2019. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Periscope, iTunes, and of course, like us on Facebook. If you're on iTunes, please leave a rating and review. Please subscribe. It will help us out tremendously. And visit us on thesportscast.net. All our podcasts are there. The Toronto Raptors take game one against the Golden State Warriors. Is this foreshadowing something? Or is this just game one? To join us to talk to us about game one, Caleb Borden, welcome back to the Sportscast.
Welcome.
Caleb Borden, I saw the whole game. I was really pumped. I was not expecting to see this game turn out to be like this. What were your thoughts?
I thought that Toronto was allowed to play more physical. I felt like Golden State struggled. Contested shooting. I felt like outside of Root struggled. I mean, Draymond Green had a triple-double. I felt like he really struggled. Six turnovers, five personal fouls. I felt like they really couldn't get anything going. And Siakam, boy, did he have himself a game. 32 points, 14 of 17 shooting, 2 of 3 from 3, 2 of 2 from the free throw line, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, 5 of 5 in transition. At one point in the game, made 11 straight field goals, transition dunks, just doing it all. The defense, the offense. Doing it all. I also feel like Danny Green, who I talked about in the last series, in the Bucks series, and he was able to make three threes, 11 points. Marcus Saul did a great job stretching the corner. He's open 20 points, 6 of 10 field goal, 6 of 6 on the free throw line. Really did a good job when Curry pick and roll the half court. Really did a good job. Every time Clay and Steph dribble, really forced a quick decision. So I felt like they did a great job with that.
One thing that I really noticed, or like the big thing, was Pascal Siakam. He Kawhi Leonard didn't have much of a showing because the Warriors were guarding him. But I think Toronto's plan was to give it to Pascal. What'd you think about his performance?
I thought it was amazing. I mean, at one point in the game, he had 11 straight field goals. I thought he was great. I mean, he was 5-5 in transition. He made 11 straight field goals. In NBA history, he actually joined. In NBA history, 30 points on 80% shooting in NBA in the final game of NBA history. He actually joined Shaq June 6, 2004. He joined Tony Cooperidge June 12, 1998, and Michael Jeffrey Jordan June 5 of 1991. So he had a very historic performance.
Yeah, Pascal was definitely like the star of the show last night with 32 points. Obviously, knowing Golden State, do you think after game one, do you think they figured out Toronto already?
I think it's going to be a tough series, and especially without Kevin Durant, and he could possibly be back in game four. I think if Toronto keeps this up and the referee is going to allow them to play physical, I think this could really be a series, and that would be interesting to see if Kevin Durant comes back with a season. But, I mean, you're looking at Golden State, even if you get five from Steph and Clay, where else are you getting other scoring? Jeff Green better, but they're going to have to play better defense because they allowed 24 points in the fact 16 turnovers. I feel like Toronto's crowd really set the tone. I mean, it's your report that for a 9 o'clock game, Toronto fans are out there at 7 o'clock in the morning, 14 hours before game time. I really feel like Toronto's crowd, every time Golden State made a run, even when they cut it to 3 at a point in the fourth quarter, Toronto's crowd really, really contributed.
Yeah, the Toronto crowd was a very hostile environment for the Warriors. It was so loud. It felt like, you know, Sacramento Kings from the early 2000s. Steph Curry had 34 points. Klay Thompson had 21. Draymond Green had 10. And you're right. It kind of feels like there was like a missing link they need, and it's probably Kevin Durant. Don't you think Steph Curry was forcing shots towards the end of the game?
I think Steph Curry was forcing shots, but that's considering the fact that Klay Thompson, they're the two to have to carry, and they weren't getting much production. I mean, they scored 53 points, and the rest of the team scored 56 points combined and really struggled. They only shot 43% from the floor. So I felt like it was incumbent on them to do more. And I felt like they needed to get more production out of Draymond Green. He did have a triple-double, but it wasn't really one of those where he really truly made an impact. I think he obviously had 6 turnovers, 5 fouls, even at the end, getting upset with Drake. You had that. Jordan Bellin gave you 2 points. So you had 8 points combined. You had Hobble 8 about the end of the game, which is another storyline we should look at for game two. What type of strength he'll be at for game two.
Draymond Green only had 10 points. DeMarcus Cousins played for 8 minutes, only had 3 points. What'd you think about his presence yesterday?
It was a little bit in the middle of DeMarcus Cousins. I felt like he was, his passing was, his patience was good, but in transition, man, boy, that 6 weeks of missing basketball really cost you, especially when you're not mentally coming back in the finals after you missed 6 weeks and you already wasn't that great defensively. I feel like there was one play in particular in transition where DeMarcus Cousins really, it really showed what missing 6 weeks is like. So I feel like on one standpoint, in the 8 minutes, he was, you know, he did solid passing, but on defense, he really struggled. And I don't think that he's going to have as big of an impact this year because he played 8 minutes, and I don't think he can play much more than like 10, 11 minutes this series per game.
Yeah, that's something that we have to, you know, take a look at. He definitely came back, you know, game one. I know everyone's saying, you know, like how much minutes he'll put, but 8 minutes. But yeah, you're right. He can't put too many minutes. Obviously, he's probably still recovering. But, you know, Kerr said that, you know, Kevin Durant will not be ready by game two, and he most likely be game three or game four. Now, they keep pushing this back every time. I mean, I've heard he could have come back from the Houston Rockets, but apparently he wasn't ready then. Is Durant the missing ingredient, or do you think the Warriors can still do it without him?
I think it's going to be difficult to do, especially if they're allowing, like, yesterday Toronto was, I mean, they were getting physical on the ball screens. I mean, they were really aggressive. Toronto has a lot of left. Siakam has 6'9". I mean, it's one of the few times where Draymond Green is not the most physical player on the team. I mean, Toronto can throw Siakam at him. They can throw Leonard at him. They can throw Gasol at him. I mean, they have a lot of different bodies that can bang with him. Ibaka can certainly give you some points. I also felt like Van Fleet was, you know, good yesterday, 15.58. I mean, his wife had a baby, so I feel like he's playing with more of a purpose. That certainly helps. I think they need Kevin Durant back. I think that he's the one unguardable player. I mean, Steph Curry and Clay are going to do there, but you can find a way to get more physical with them and make it difficult. With Kevin Durant, that you can do when he can shoot over the top of anyone. So I certainly think that Clay can make, Kawhi can make it difficult, but there's not much they can do. I think he needs Kevin Durant back.
Yeah, it's going to be quite interesting once it comes back. But obviously, when it comes back, there'll be some rust. But you know, we'll see how much of an impact he'll be. Marc Gasol had an impact with the Raptors. Had 20 points on 10 shots in Game One. Gasol finally looked ready to take on the heavier scoring load, readily accepting post passes, making spin moves, and drop steps. It seemed this whole Toronto team played a total game. I think everyone had a huge participation.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that Marc Gasol, like you said, 20 points, 6 of 10, 2 of 4, 6 of 6 on the free throw line, 7 rebounds, 2 steals. I also feel like he did a great job defensively. And I also feel like Toronto, when you can see when Golden State was down by 3, they never panicked. That's another sign. Also on the Steph Curry relocation threes, a lot of times a lot of teams panic on it. I feel like Toronto did a great job. They attacked the whole game, rattled even. We know Golden State's famous for those third quarter runs. They only lost the third quarter by 32 to 29. So they even did a great job after the half. So that they were focused after the half. And that really goes a long way because we know Golden State's a huge third quarter team. And that goes a long way to making sure they're able to get the win.
Yeah, it's something that, you know, we'll for sure definitely take on. But, you know, if Toronto had to win one game, it had to be game one. I think losing game one, you know, would have been a little bit tough for them. But I think game one, just to, you know, have that home court to feel like, yes, they're in this series. We'll see what happens game two. I think I personally think Golden State's going to figure them out. And I think they have, you know, knowing like the Warriors are very strategic. They see how it is. But I never seen Golden State coming from behind like this.
Yeah, I also agree with that point because Toronto coming in the game one, I have a stat in front of me. They were 3-15 all time in game one. And this is the first time we're going to see Steve Kerr's team. It's also worth noting that Steve Kerr's team, this is the first time they start on the road in the finals ever. And you know, this is the first time they really lost a finals game on the road. And there was a stat that came out of ESPN Stats and Info. Home teams in the finals have won 12 straight after having a double-digit lead at halftime. And now the Raptors are 3-0 versus Golden State this year. And I think there was I think Draymond Green is going to play with more sense of urgency in game two, and you're going to see much more efficient Steph and Clay. But they got to figure out a way to get some kind of scoring from Iguodala. Is he going to be more hobbled, or is that 3 days of extra rest going to help him, or is he going to be more hobbled? Because that's what's going to be, you know, key for them. And what are they going to get from their bench? Because I didn't think that they got much production from their bench. And that's why Steve Kerr is trusting less and less guys, even though he only played 12 guys. I mean, Kevon Looney played 28 minutes. Livingston played 18. And then it drops off to 9. Quinn Cook, DeMarcus Cousins played 8. Jarrett Owen and McKinney only played 8. So he's going to have to find another guy to play, especially if Iguodala plays, but he's hobbled. I think that's going to be important for Louis State, finding that fourth guy behind Draymond Green.
Yeah, Iguodala was limping off the court with an apparent leg injury, but the MRI came out clean, so he's definitely going to be okay for game two, but maybe not 100%. But really, who's 100%? You know, by now, it's everyone's playing hurt somewhere. But yeah, Iguodala is a very key factor, especially without Durant. They definitely need his defense. And how'd you think Warriors covered Kawhi?
I think they did a great job on Kawhi. I mean, obviously they have to double team because he's too strong for Clay and he's too strong for Draymond. So I actually think they did a really good job on him. I mean, he was in foul trouble early. He still finished with 23 points. He had a solid third quarter. He finished with 23 points. He still had 8 rebounds and 5 assists. So, I mean, they're going to have to make a decision. If you want to double, you know, Kawhi Leonard, you're going to get more production from Siakam. That's going to free up Siakam. Obviously, got a lot of transition baskets, which helped. I think they did a great job on Kawhi. I mean, I think Kawhi looked really hobbled. I think I'm going to be interested to see how that play in game two, because he just didn't have a lot of lift on his shots. A lot of his shots are line drive. So he just didn't have a lot of lift. He went 3-6-3, but he just didn't have a lot of lift. But he obviously got to the free throw line at very important times, and they were down by 3 in the fourth quarter when they needed something. He got to the free throw line 12 times. Obviously, he made 10. He still had 5 assists, and he was still great defensively. And I think that the fact that Toronto was able to win this game with their supporting cast bodes well for them going forward in game two, because I still think we're going to get that Kawhi game. But I think Toronto able to win game one, and with typically they struggle in game one, them being able to win game one bodes well for them in game two, because Kawhi Leonard's going to obviously play well as the series go forward.
I'm thinking we'll see that Kawhi game in game two.
Yeah, I agree. Definitely.
You know, 30 to 40 points, because his time will come. I think they're saving him, or maybe later on in the series, but we'll see how it goes. But I think game two is going to be – is it a pivotal game two, or do you think if the Warriors are down 0-2, you think they're fine going back home?
I think for Toronto, it's very pivotal, because if you win game two, all of a sudden people are going to be talking about – I mean, if you win game two and Kevin Durant comes back in game three, that puts a lot of pressure on the Warriors. Even though they're going back home, obviously it's the last couple of games in the Oracle. You got that standpoint. Also, what type of strength is Kevin Durant going to be at? I mean, the role players play better at home. But I think if Toronto can win game two, they can put a little bit of a statement. Obviously, you just protect the home court. But now Toronto's players are getting a little bit more emboldened. And now they go to game three. Even though it's going to be at the Oracle, there's going to be a little more pressure on the Warriors to come out strong, and I think they will, but there could be a little more pressure on them knowing that Kevin Durant's likely to leave at the end of the year. There could be a little bit of pressure on them to, you know, to win the game three.
Yeah, totally agree on that. I think for the Warriors, being down 0-2 is not a big deal, because this team could come back and bounce and just win the series. I mean, think about it. We saw, you know, 2 years ago or 3 years ago, Cleveland was down 3-1 and they won the series. Golden State was down 3-1 against OKC and still won the series. So 0-2 is nothing right now.
No, it's not that I don't think they can come back and win the series. I think they can, but I think Toronto having that juice. And I also think Toronto's never had the best player on their team. And I also think in 2015, not to diminish Golden State, they went against, you know, when Kyrie and Kevin Love wasn't there in 2016 and 2017. you know, a fully healthy thing, and we could see Iguodala's injuries, and they've never really had a situation where Kevin Durant's a looming free agent. Steph Curry, as great as he is, he's 30. Klay Thompson, you know, they're no longer the strength and numbers team like they were in the beginning of the era. And that's why it was important that, you know, Kevin Durant gets back, because Draymond Green, you know, is the third, you know, best player. And outside of that, they're not getting production. Your Iguodala, he's not getting any younger, and he's certainly not the player he was in that championship run.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think Draymond Green has to step it up, and of course, a whole lot of players. You know, it's funny because I was seeing Jordan Bell scored like 2 points towards the end of the game. It was kind of, oh, Jordan Bell scored finally. But yeah, we'll see what happens. I'm really anxious. I mean, this series, it's not going to be like last year. This series is different. It has. Like, yes, like the Cleveland series were good, but I don't know. It feels like this one could be closer because, like, the last 2 years, it was, you know, 4-0 and then 4-1 Warriors. But I think this one's going to be more eye-opening.
Yeah, I also agree with that point. And I also think that it's not to diminish Cleveland in any way. I think this is the best defensive team, you know, that Golden State faced in that era, because we got to look at it like this. The fact is, in the Portland series, Portland wants to run with you. Houston settles for a lot of three-pointers. Pascal Siakam and Kawhi Leonard attacking the rim. Like, they're attacking the rim. They're getting Clay and Draymond in foul trouble. So that goes a long way in this series. I feel like this is the toughest test because Kyle Lowry has drawn 14 charges. And they put up a stat on ABC last night in the first half. He's drawn 14 charges this playoffs. Danny Green is a very good defender. Marcus Gasol can switch. Kawhi Leonard is an outstanding defender, and Siakam is coming. So I think this is really the toughest team that Golden State's faced defensively.
In other NBA news, the LA Clippers were fined $50,000 for tampering by the NBA for comments head coach Doc Rivers made about Toronto Raptors star Kawhi Leonard earlier this week. While the league did not specify which comments violated the anti-tampering rule, Rivers compared Leonard to Michael Jordan while breaking down the Raptors matchup with the Golden State Warriors on ESPN's NBA Finals preview show. He said, "He is the most like Jordan that we've seen," Rivers said after former Lakers president of basketball operations, Magic Johnson, talked about Leonard on Tuesday's preview show. So I don't know if he's really like Jordan. I don't think he is.
Quite my long. Thoughts on it is that, my thoughts on it is that he has obviously traits like Jordan, the demeanor, but then I don't think they're comparing him straight up like a literal comparison to Jordan. I think it's more like his mentality, the hands. I think a lot of it's the hands. I think a lot of it's the physical traits. I don't think they're comparing him to Jordan. And my thoughts on the comments is it's simply like, you know, Doc Rivers obviously, you know, I think it's between the Clippers, and the Raptors. So obviously, you know, having a coach on the show to talk about another, you know, superstar player, I think it's great for the league. I think the league as a whole should get rid of the tampering rule. Here's why. Because we all know that they're back-channeling behind the scenes to talk about these free agents. And that's how they're really going to sign these free agents. Nobody's really going to talk on July 1st. I think, obviously, there needs to be, you know, league rules in place to make sure that it's not getting out of hand. But I think nobody's really waiting to July 1st to talk. And I think Doc Rivers is making some very silent points about Kawhi Leonard. Obviously, you know, Toronto knows it's going to be an uphill battle to keep Kawhi Leonard. But I don't think that his comments on Kawhi Leonard is obviously going to affect Kawhi Leonard to want to stay or the adversary to want to leave to go to the Clippers.
Beyond the NBA, NFL news, as organized team activities wrap up in Cleveland, head coach of the Browns, Freddie Kitchens, expressed Thursday that he wished new Browns receiver Odell Beckham Jr. had been around more. OBJ has been absent for most of Cleveland's 9-day voluntary OTAs, as is right under the collective bargaining agreement. But Kitchens said that the wideout missed out on a bunch. Asked what his goals are for Beckham when he likely returns for the team's mandatory mini camp next Tuesday, Kitchen said, "I just want to see him." You think it's a big deal or not a big deal?
I don't think it's a big deal in the grand scheme of things, but I would love to see Odell Beckham come to voluntary because you're learning a new system. Obviously, the connection with Jarvis Landry. I think you're learning a new system. It's a new opportunity. You're in Cleveland. You're not in New York. It's a new offense. I think that I think he should come to the voluntary, even though it's voluntary, and he should come. You're learning a new offense, one. You got a new coach, two. Three, it's a new quarterback. And four, it's just a new city. And obviously, you need to meet people. You need to go through, you know, it's a new structure for you. So I think he should come to he should come to Cleveland, learn an offense, you know, stay a couple hours, ask some questions, and certainly just get used to, you know, his surroundings so that it could better make him, you know, for the season.
Yeah, you're right. Obviously, these things are always, these drama, these news always comes up, especially during these voluntary OTAs. But, when you know, once the mini camp, those things die down and you see him play and everything. I think Tom Brady had the same issue, didn't show up, but it was not a big it was a big nothing burger. And same for Bell. I don't think Bell showed up for that, but, you know, it's just voluntary. It's just contractual stuff. But anything else before game predictions?
No.
How are the Yankees doing, by the way?
Oh, the Yankees are doing great. I mean, they got postponed yesterday. The Yankees have won 12 of their last 13 series. They faced Boston tonight. I also think the postponement helped the Yankees because the Yankees don't got to do an opener strategy in baseball. They got their three better pitchers set up for the series. And the game was going to be made up on August 3. And by August 3, the Yankees had most of their players back. There was a report that Didi Gregorius might come back next week. And so that should go well for the team as we go forward.
All right. Game predictions. Who do you have tonight? Boston Red Sox at the New York Yankees.
I think the Yankees are going to win tonight. I think the Yankees are going to get to Chris Sale early tonight. And I could see the Yankees winning 7-2. I think the Yankees are going to score. I think the Yankees are going to score three in the first. Boston will answer with two. And then because Boston's bullpen, I think the Yankees will add one from the sixth inning on. And the Yankees will win 7-2 tonight.
7-2 Yankees. Stanley Cup, Boston Bruins at the St. Louis Blues. Series is tied 1-1.
I think the Bruins win tonight. Don't really know much about hockey.
It's okay.
I think the Bruins are going to win tonight. Yeah, I think the Bruins are going to win tonight.
Your guess is as good as mine. And for Saturday, I know it's a soccer thing, but you could just pick one of them. For the Champions League final, Liverpool versus Tottenham.
I'm going to go with Liverpool.
Liverpool, good choice. That's my team. And Sunday night, game two, Golden State at the Toronto Raptors. Who takes it? And you could give us a prediction and a little more extended prediction.
I'm going to go with Toronto, actually. I think Toronto's going to serve at home. I think Kawhi Leonard's going to play much better. I don't think you're going to see 32 points from Siakam, but if he's going to give us, you know, 20, 21, 22, Marc Gasol gives us 15, a better game from Kawhi. I think we don't have to shoot as well. We don't have to get to the line 32 times and shoot 50%. But if we shoot 46%, we get to the line like 25 times, we keep our turnovers down, we continue to play physical, I think we can win this game, another close one. I think this game is not going to be a 9. I think obviously we're close in the game. I think Steph and Clay have a better game. I think Draymond Green has a better game. I could see Toronto winning on some free throws. So I'd go Toronto 113, Golden State 109.
Not a bad prediction. Much more closer score than game one. I think Golden State's going to take game two, make things interesting. But, man, after seeing Toronto, I would not be surprised they win game two. It's going to be a great Sunday night. These finals are, wow, I'm really pumped. So we'll see what happens. And random question, what goes best with strawberries?
I like my strawberries plain.
There you go.
Plain.
you wash them and you eat them. There you go. Kailu, how can people reach you to talk to you about the NBA Finals?
They can reach me on Twitter at KailuBorden12, and you can reach me on Instagram at KailuB123.
Kailu is our NBA guy, of course. Of course, he watches baseball. He's also a baseball guy, and of course, some NFL football and some college. And also, you know, follow us on thesportscast.net or on Twitter at thesportscast1. We'll definitely be you know, covering the NBA Finals. We had the Sportscast Twitter following the NBA Finals last night. And I was really excited, really liked the anthem. Everything was great. So, anyways, thesportscast.net. Our next show will be next week. I think Saturday we might have Victor tomorrow. No, Victor probably next week after after game three. And, of course, we'll have Kalu again to recap game three and also preview game four because these things are going to get really, really heated. Anyways, Kalu, I appreciate you coming on to the SportsCast.
Thank you. Appreciate it.